This recording is labeled explicit, but your audience's only parental discretion is advised.
This is Dr. Bone.
Here we go.
The following program is brought to you in honky vision.
The jury found that they were all not guilty.
Magnificent specimen of pure Alabama black snake, but ain't too goddamn buku.
Dr. Moe is on the air.
Where no man has gone before.
Everywhere.
All around the universe.
I do not look down on niggers, kites, wops, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless.
That just happened.
And this is the show with something to offend everybody.
With Dr. Moe.
This is Dr. Moe. Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Yo, this is Solstice from WanderingSoul.com. I'm in here with my man, Dr. Moe from the Danger Zone Show. We got that fire, y'all. Keep it locked.
Saying sorry for slavery is not enough. Why?
Because sorry doesn't mean anything if it's just words. You know, if I punch you in the face and then I say sorry and I punch you again, well, what was the point of saying sorry?
Mm.
That's basically my argument. If there's going to be an apology, let's have something to back it up so that you're actually saying sorry and saying, I'm actually going to repair the damage that I've done. Because that, to me, is really what saying sorry is about. It's restorative. It's about reparation in terms of to repair. And, you know, I'm not seeing the repair element of an apology yet.
Yeah, that's missing. It's probably out for drinks right now. but when you look at, this whole thing here, the federal government came out, you know, Senator Steve Cohen, Congressman Steve Cohen came up and put this bill through, and he got backed by the Black Congressional Caucus, which is another joke that merits 2 hours. These guys, let me tell you, they're in power to keep us down, it seems. So Steve Cohen, you know, puts forth this bill, apology for slavery and Jim Crow laws, and most of the country is going, what about the other stuff? So when are you going to fix that? And of course, this was a symbolic bill, so it's an empty measure, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Symbolic in nature, yes, but and that's good. Oh, great. Symbolic is almost saying, well, things are good, so we're just doing that just for the record, but it's not like you need it.
Yeah, I know. It's strange, actually, because even, you know, he said it was a symbolic gesture, and it's like, well, then what's the point?
Right. I mean, if you're not going to pass a frickin' law or something that says the country, you know, apologizes. I mean, this is, they're playing around. I don't know what's going on, but the guy,
it's politics.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't let him do it as anything else.
Right.
You know, they probably.
I think he had his own reasons for wanting to do it as well.
Yeah, and from what we understand, he's up for re-election, and he's running against a black guy for a Memphis, Tennessee district of all black people that he's representing. So if he's got to do, like, man, if he can, like, stand up in front of black people and say, I made America apologize to you because I represent you, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, the white man is our guy, but that's a shame because then the black man is not getting any props just because he didn't have access to go up there. And even if he did go up there to try and make them come up with a bill to apologize for slavery, the black congressional caucus would have had him whacked.
Hmm.
How about that? They would not let that happen. It had to come out from outside that caucus, I believe. But, you know, we should talk more about that because that's a very – it's sparking a lot of conversation on this topic. You mentioned it on one of your articles on The Guardian. There's a lot more black affairs media out there these days, all of a sudden, since Barack Obama's race in America or race speech or whatever, or since he started running, what do you make of that? And is that just a temporary fad, or is this really, can this make a dent to keep the conversation going?
Do you mean black people who are writing, or just No.
Not black people. I'm talking about the mainstream media. The outfit that lies to everybody. Well, they came up with that. You know, CNN had Black in America,
yeah,
two episodes. MSNBC had Meeting David Wilson, which was like a slave to a master story.
Yeah.
You know, and a bunch of those things on cable. So what do you make of that? Is that temporary, you think, just because Barack is here? Or is this really the start of having a real conversation?
I think there's sort of different reasons. One is, you know, it is a topical issue, probably something that people have more consciousness about at the moment, you know, so it's probably good for ratings. Also, because it is a topical issue, it means they probably can talk about it now when they maybe haven't been able to before, you know, and they have a reason to be able to introduce things. I do think there's a certain desire to want to have, you know, a forum be able to discuss it by people, some people in those networks who are passionate about those issues. As I said the other day, whether or not it will continue if Barack Obama doesn't win, you know, that's another issue. Possibly, probably not, you know, that's the nature of the media. But I hope that what's happened, you know, this year so far has encouraged people in general to want to talk, you know, and encouraged networks to want to talk. And, you know, have more opportunities for those forums as well.
Here's a quote from Lola Adeshioye. In any case, and this quote is on what England means to you. What England means to you for $200. And her answer was, in any case, I am proud of having been born and raised in England. I know and am well aware of England's colonial roots. Okay, so boom, that was a nice dig there.
Yeah,
that was sweet. It looks beautiful, but but man, oh, you're throwing it out there. And no doubt, England has, for such a small place, created a lot of havoc in the world. Okay, that's even like smack you in your face, throw the burning bacon oil in your underwear. And then you close with, as a person of color, I would be silly not to acknowledge that. But for all its sins, contradictions, and paradoxes, it's still home. And, you know, this is something that Black Americans are saying, too. Listen, you know, I mean, this is my home. It's still my home, even though my home treats me like a second-class citizen.
Mm.
This is still my home. And so, of course, you get pissed off because you're like, wait a minute, I belong here, too, just like you do. Why are you treating me like a second-class citizen? And so is there that kind of a feeling, you know, when you go into a store in the UK, that they follow you around?
Stuff. Because, you know, I'm quite well-spoken, I suppose. So when I talk to people on the phone, a lot of the time they don't know that I'm Black. Or say I might be speaking to somebody face.
You there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think people, if I was, you know, I'm always interested in, if I was someone who had a different, more Black sounding voice and was like, yeah, I'm from the streets, you know, from London.
You cut out, but I love that ghetto accent. You got to do that for me again. Good. You're like, yeah. I'm from the street, man. Look, bloke, I put my foot in your ass, nigga. All right, man. Look, man, I'm going to put a cap in your ass right
your
after tea time. Right after tea time, you know. Do Black people, really? Thank you. Well, we'll do more of that in private. But do Black people, do they drink tea in England? I mean, how the whole country stops, it seems. Not as much anymore, but, you know, what's with the tea thing? Do Black people partake in that?
I don't drink tea. Everyone drinks tea. You know, Black people, white people, Indian, whatever. You know, people just drink. Tea is just an English drink. But personally, I don't like tea. I don't like coffee either, so I'm not one of the tea drinkers. But my mom loves tea. She drinks it all the time. My sister loves tea too, actually.
You know what's funny? In the English colonies, as you spoke of their colonial roots earlier, I love that. You know, India, they have the whole tea thing. As a matter of fact, England raked them for the tea leaves.
Mm.
And then you have the South Africa. They were doing the tea thing. Some, you know, it's very big in terms of the English thing. And I just don't get it. I guess it's cold there. It makes sense to drink tea, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
and you're like, screw that.
That's why. That's basically what happens. I just don't like the taste of it. But, yeah, it's cold. You know, people drink tea to keep warm.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's, I mean, the weather over there sucks. I mean, do you feel different being in the United States and experiencing the weather that we get here compared to how you were feeling when you were experiencing the weather back in the UK?
Definitely.
Does it, like, pep you up?
I mean, in England, the weather is, first of all, we don't have four seasons. So in February, it could be boiling hot. And then in June, it rains, you know, until August. So you can never tell what the weather's going to be like. And when it rains, it's really grey and it's quite depressing. It's quite miserable and you get this, like, drizzle kind of stuff. And whereas here, you know, at least in New York, I know we have four seasons. I know in the summer it's going to be hot. I know in the winter it's going to be freezing cold, but that's okay. And also there are blue skies when it's cold, you know, as opposed to just grey. And it's just, it makes you feel so depressed. So yeah, I'm definitely glad I'm out of the weather system.
I hear that. I just you know, it sucks. I mean, unless you're, you know, drunk on some Guinness beers and having a late night with a hot chick, I mean, the weather will really screw you over. I mean, yeah, let me tell you. You know, it's
speaking from experience.
let me tell you, I'm going to tell you my London stories, and I hope maybe I shouldn't, because I don't want to taint your perspective of the great Dr. Mo tonight. hey, you've been awesome. I really want to thank you for being on the show, and
thank you.
You actually popped into Race in America this past Sunday, and that was really cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
You know, we got to talking about that. And so a couple other things I want to cover with you. Let's see if I can, I don't know if I can get Boston Amp. I'm getting a freeze out on the damn computer. I hate this. Okay, here we go. Let's get Ant a chance to ask another question.
Yeah,
my last
two questions I've always wanted to know about a person from England. I never met one before. Is regentrification is it happening in English communities? And do Englands have racism like we do here, or is it based on class? Thank you, and have a good night.
Thank you. The gentrification. What do you mean?
Lola.
Hello.
Yeah, I think he means. I think we lost him, but I think he means. The neighborhoods are being gentrified. So I don't think it was a de-gentrification, but rather the gentrification of the neighborhood. And what that means is that neighborhoods that were previously mostly of one ethnic start getting diluted, and it then turns into another ethnic. Is that happening in the black neighborhoods out there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, one area called Brixton, which is a place that people tend to have heard about in South London, which is, it's actually not far from where I grew up, and I've spent a lot of time in Brixton just hanging out and stuff. You know, that used to be a very kind of black area, I guess predominantly black by predominantly black standards in the UK. And what's happened is in recent years, it's actually become, you know, a lot more white people have moved in, house prices have gone up. You know, the neighborhood has changed dramatically. It was a place that people didn't really want to be in before. And this is happening all across, particularly in London, actually. And that's partly because, you know, I guess same as gentrification anywhere, people can't afford to live so central anymore. So they start moving out into the areas where it's cheaper, which tend to be the areas which are less developed, which tend to be the areas where the people of color live, you know, and then they start buying up properties and the properties go up and then black people kind of get pushed out. So, yeah, that's definitely happening in London, especially. But then you are finding as well that, you know, people are sort of living side by side as well. So people are buying up properties, but it's not necessarily – it's changing the face of the area, but the black people and the people of color are still there.
So you're a singer-songwriter? You sing. Let me hear your voice. Can you sing for me?
No, I don't.
Come on. Come on. I probably know that – I probably know that song. We could sing it together. Frere Jacques.
You probably know that I sing in an American accent. I don't know. Most people from England do, which always surprises people. They're like, why do you sing in an American accent? I'm like, because if you heard me sing in an English accent, it would be very strange.
I want to hear the difference, actually. That's got to be really interesting.
Okay, do you want me to sing then?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I'll just sing Killing Me Softly or something.
Oh, love that. My God, that's a great song. Hang on, I'm going to get a napkin. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay, stop.
Go ahead.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him, to listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, singing clear and strong, drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, baby. Wow. You're good. Look at you. Now, I want you to sing that in a British accent now. Just give me a quick flair of, I mean, how the hell different would that sound? So just sing the Killing Me Softly. Just a thing that, oh, what's that song? I can't something without you. You're just too good to be true. You know that song?
Yeah.
Lauren.
I don't know it that well, though.
You're just too good to be true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, okay, so do the chorus with the English accent. I got to hear that.
Okay, thing is, I have to actually think about it because I'm just don't, that's not how I sing, but I heard he sang a good song.
I don't want it. Stop it.
It changes everything. It changes how you do your vibrato. It changes your vowel shapes. It's not really a very good way to sing, I think.
Yeah, no, it's bad. I don't...
I
don't even
singing, you know, choral music.
Yeah, it's the British, it just elevates everything. It's so funny in the movies, like, when it's time for somebody to say something smart, they bring in this guy who's like, the level's at 32.7. And they're like, well, I guess he's right because he's speaking in a British accent, so get the level. You know, and it's like, they're sitting there arguing for hours. We launched the missiles. We don't launch the missiles. What about this? The British guy comes in. The fortitude is at the percentage of 35.9. The operation is permitted. They're like, oh, well, let's do it.
It sounds intelligent.
Yeah, that's kind of presumptuous.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you know.
But are the British people promoting that? That's what they're promoting, though. They're, you know, right?
No, we don't really, until you go abroad, you don't really realize how, you know, this is just how we speak. So, I mean, you know, you don't really think about it until you go somewhere else and people stare at you, which is kind of very odd. You know, I'd be talking to someone, they just, you can see their eyes kind of moving in this weird way, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to order some food. You know.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So you know what we should do, you and I? We should do an entire show together. You're gonna come in and co-host with me. And your job is to do the full show in an American voice, and I'm going to do the full show in a British voice.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
That is a mind exercise if I ever heard one.
We'll
see who stumbles first and most.
Okay.
So, is Obama the new Jesus? I mean, what's that all about?
I think he is. I think he is the Messiah internationally.
So the world is giving a pretty good response. Obviously, we saw through the major network media, we saw the reactions in different countries. Sarkozy gave him a royal reception, pretty much. I bet you Brown would have met him at 10 Downing Street if there wasn't a rule against it. You know, so he's getting a lot of play and a lot of respect, and the Republicans are hating his guts. They're calling him racist. They are losing their freaking minds. If this guy, I mean, internationally, he's looked at him as a messiah. I think we can understand that. But from your experience here, you're here. You've been here for his whole sort of campaign, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think Obama represents to black people?
I think, you know, it's an incredible achievement that, you know, considering the history and how recent, you know, the history is of the troubles and problems and issues that African Americans have faced, it's quite amazing that he's in this position. And I think that's how everyone else sees it. It's like, wow, okay, so how does that happen? You know, so I think he's elevated the hopes of a lot of African Americans for what America is, you know. And I think even though people think, well, nothing's changed in terms of maybe the day-to-day racial realities, but at the same time, something must have changed for him to be able to get to that position. And I think more than anything, he's maybe given people even more increased hopes of what can be achieved, you know, because that's
right.
Pretty much the most powerful position you can have in the country, isn't it, really? You know, in the nation, in the world. So I think that, and I have friends, you know, educated black people who are like, oh, I never thought I could be the president, but maybe it's possible.
Right. There's a new standard being established, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think people do have a sense of, and this is actually my next article, which I'm going to write when I get off the phone. People do have a sense of, well, a black man becoming part of the system maybe means that the system will change. I don't know if that expectation is, I think, slightly unrealistic, actually. But, you know, there is that. And I just think people just have that sense of, wow, this is a really historic moment. You know, many people thought it would never happen in their lifetime. And it's something for that reason to be celebrated.
Right. It should be. It should be. What's your favorite color? Speed round.
Fuchsia or red.
I don't have one. Is that why your website is fuchsia?
I just like bright colors.
It's really freaking bright.
Are you complaining?
Yeah, well, I got my shades on, so I should be fine. So what's your favorite word?
Oh, don't know. Oh, I say cool a lot. I say cool.
What is your least favorite word?
Nice is very just generic, doesn't really mean anything.
Nice?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I guess I have to find a new keyword? Is that what you're telling me? That's ridiculous. You know what? I don't know. What do you use to blog?
What did I used to?
What do you use to blog?
I use WordPress. WordPress.com and WordPress.org.
Do you drink milk?
No, I don't drink milk. Don't like milk.
Why not?
I just don't like the taste of it. I haven't liked it for many, many years.
Do you? Are you a vegetable eater?
Yes, I eat lots of vegetables.
Do you... Well, that's all you got over there in the UK. You got the meat, a fish pie. I almost threw up. I said, are you freaking kidding me? Where's the French restaurant? I'm out of here.
No, there is good food in the UK.
Yeah, well, you know, after four pints, who gives a shit? I mean, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, because, of course, you go to the pub, you sit down, you have four pints before you eat.
I can tell what kind of experience you had when you went to England.
Yeah, we'll talk offline. Don't give me away. When it comes to cars, what's your favorite car?
Oh, Porsche 911 Turbo.
Oh, that's hot. What's your favorite major news network?
I don't
say the BBC.
No, I don't really watch television. I don't have one. I generally read.
Wow. Well, that's good. That you're part of the new generation. The TV is just an obstacle.
Yeah, I have a cable box in my room, and I have no television, so.
Unbelievable. So, business, you're really trying to get something done. What are you hoping to achieve in 5 years, business-wise?
Wow. Basically, I want to be, you know, I want to be an influential person in the media and be able to really affect change within the, you know, black communities in the UK and US using the media. And I want to be well established as a singer-songwriter and be, you know, releasing stuff. And I want to have my businesses really well up and running and established, employing good numbers of people and putting out products and services that are of value to the world.
Nice. That's huge. I guess you were reading your mission statement off your website, huh?
No. that's the one I keep in my, you know, trapped in my head and think about every day.
That's good. You've got to put that out there. Your grandfather was one of the forefathers of journalism in Nigeria. Quickly, tell me about that.
He was an editor of a major newspaper, you know, one of the sort of first editors of newspapers in Nigeria, was very well known, and did a lot of great work, you know, from a journalism perspective. And that was it, really. He was just a well-known, you know, a well-known journalism. So I, journalist even. So, you know, I do think that writing is in my blood through him.
All right, let me ask you, panties or a thong?
Sorry?
Panties or thong?
Thong every time, every day, a thong.
That's how I do it, I tell you what. It's a lot
sure
easier.
It looks great on you, too.
It looks fantastic, let me tell you. I keep it hidden, of course. It's not as approved. Marijuana, legal or illegal?
Legal.
Reparations, financial or educational?
Educational.
But definitely yes, reparations, though.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. McCain, racist or just old?
Both.
Okay. Well, I won't tell him you said that. Lola, it's been awesome having you on the show. I was wondering if you could do a quick bumper for me. Can you do a quick bumper for me and do say something, you know, hi, this is your name, and then from, and then your website, and then you're listening to Dr. Mo on the Danger Zone show. And then you could say something like really sexy, like your unique something, a little something to make it, do you know what I mean, like really special from Lola.
Do you want me to do it now?
Right now.
Okay. okay. Hi, you're listening to Lola, writer from the UK, with Dr. Mo on the Danger Show. Ah! See, I've got it wrong.
Yeah. See, Emma, hi, this is Lola from The Guardian UK or something, and you are listening to Dr. Mo on the Danger Zone Show, and then say something like, and he really makes me randy or something British. You know what I mean? Do it.
Okay. This is Lola from The Guardian UK with Dr. Mo on the Danger Zone show. God, Dr. Mo, you make me horny.
Oh, yeah, baby. I love it. I love it. Lola, it's been awesome having you on the show.
Thank you so much. I've had a lot of fun. It's been great.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And I want to talk to you about some stuff, so stick around. I'm going to give you a call right after we hang up here.
Cool.
And we're going to talk about a few things, but I definitely want to see you again on the show and getting some material for your column.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was
all right.
Great. Okay.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You got it. This was Dr. Mo, DangerZoneShow.com. You can get more of these great interviews there, and hope to join us here every Friday night to 9, Sunday night to 9 p.m. Eastern. Peace.